ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम गणानां त्वा गणपतिं हवामहे कविं कवीनामुपमश्रवस्तमं ज्येष्ठराज कुमारि धीमहि तन्नो दुर्गिः प्रचोदयात् ओम शांति 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 वी हैव एंटर्ड इनटू द अद्वैत प्रकरणम द चैप्टर डिस्कसिंग द नॉन ड्युअलिटी अ नॉन ड्यूअल रियलिटी द आत्मा सो द सब्जेक्ट द teaching what is discussed in this chapter is the turiya atma the turiya chaitanyam or the non dual reality brahman when you say this chapter discusses the non dual reality brahman or the turiya chaitanyam it means what it is going to this chapter the satyatvam of the atma is established Like the previous chapter establishes, the second chapter, Vaitathya Prakaranam establishes the Mithyatvam of the Jagat. And this chapter establishes the Satyatvam of the Atma. If you reduce everything into two as the Atma and Anatma, Prapancha comes under the category of Anatma. And Atma, the Self comes under the it's the Satyam. So, Atma Satyam Anatma Mithya. So, you can say Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. Therefore, when you say Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya, or when you say Atma is Satyam Jagat, Anatma is Mithya, the Anatma or Jagat is nothing but manifestation, appearance of the only Brahma, the Atma. This is the teaching, isn't it? So we have to go to that. That's why this is the chapter. But here, the chapter is begun with the first verse and wherein he introduces the teaching. So Gaudapada Acharyaji introduces the teaching of this whole chapter. The first two shlokas, he introduces the teaching. So the first shloka says dvaitam duality is bondage. The second verse is going to say, second karika is going to say non-duality is moksha. Dvaitam bandha. Advaitam moksha. Non-duality is freedom and duality is bondage. How is going to be elaborately discussed later on. In the last class, I told you we have to remember the first chapter very clearly, very well, so that it will be easy for us to understand this chapter more and it will benefit more from the understanding of this chapter. So I said there are certain words we have to remember together as synonyms. For example, we have the three facets of the Atma, Padatrayam. Padatrayam, immediately what should come to your mind is Karanam and Karyam. Tritiya Padaha Pragyaha is Karanam. And Vishwaha, Taijasaha and Vishwaha, the two first two Padas come under the category of the Karyam, the effects. So Karana Karya Rupam Jagat, the universe which is known of cause and effect system, cause effect system is what come under the category of this Padatrayam. Once you say the Karanam and Karyam, immediately the cause has to undergo change to become the effect. The effect has to undergo change to become the, again to remain resolved as the cause. Therefore, Savikaravatvam comes. Savikaravatvam is what now? Being subject to change. Isn't it? So, Savikaram. Once you say Savikaravatvam, the Jagat has Savikaravatvam. Means anything. Karanakaryam, Savikaravatvam means. He also what now? Kalavatvam, it has kalavatvam, time boundedness. The time bound nature. Because change implies what? Time bound nature, isn't it? So kala antargatatvam or kalavatvam comes. Once you say kalavatvam, it has time limitation. Anything subject to time, you would know, subject to mortality, subject to death, subject to old age. Okay, old age. Subject to all forms of changes and dukkham, misery. Therefore, we said time limitation implies what actually? The duality, and the duality is samsaraha, bondage. This you have to remember all these words together. Your mind should come. Padatrayam. I'm using Sanskrit terms, easy to remember. Padatrayam. Because three facets of Atma. It will take time. So, Padatrayam. No karna karya rupam jagat. Karna karyam, immediately what now? Savikaravatvam. Savikar, or vikaravatvam, or savikaram. Then you can say kalavatvam. Only kalavatvam, then you can say dvaitam. Dvaitam means samsaraha. And also last class we saw, dvaitam implies kala, time limitation. Time limitation, dvaitam means time limitation. Time limitation implies what, stands for what? Karnakari rupam. Karnakari rupam means jagat, which is padatrayam. So, last class we saw very clearly, how do we say that duality is samsaraha? In duality, there is misery. Duality samsaraha means what? Duality is bondage means, in duality there is misery. Because when you say there is duality, when you say there is a second thing other than the self, you mean duality means you see something else other than yourself which enjoys the same order of, which enjoys the same order of reality, same which also has a status of being the same, which means there is another parallel reality. If you say there is a parallel reality other than yourself, which means you think, not parallel reality, or in fact you think you are inferior, something else is superior. The Lord is superior because you are inferior. In duality, when you say second thing, that second thing which you see other than yourself happens to be the object of knowledge. And that object of knowledge must be either an object of dvesha or raga. Therefore, whether an object is an object other than yourself, is object of raga or dvesha, definitely it will result in what? It will be responsible for the misery, because an object of raga will result in, will contribute for pain later on, misery and pain, you know, on its departure. And the object of dvesha will contribute for pain on its arrival. Anyway, any object is what? Any object will contribute for your misery and pain. Therefore, dvaite samsaraha. In duality, there is bondage. There is misery. And we also saw last class, one more thing, another important aspect what we saw last class was the karanakaryam. Isn't it? Karanakaryam means if you say this, there's a cause, there is effect, which means there's cause and effect. Whenever you talk about cause and effect, duality has come, and there again is definitely misery. How do you say? If you see, oh, I'm here now, I'm born here. Why am I born here? You do not know. And somehow you understand, with the help of the Shastram, I am born here because of my own parabdha karma. Which means my parabdha karma becomes the parabdha karma phalam, is the cause for my being born here. Therefore, I am the product of my parabdha karma phalam. I am an effect, isn't it? Varm the karma becomes the cause, which means I have no say. And I go through whole life, I live as ordained by Parabdha karma. I go through pains and pleasures choicelessly, just as my birth was choiceless. I am born choicelessly, and then I am going through pains and pleasures also choicelessly, experiencing. Even though I have choice over actions, what I am going through, I am going through choicelessly. And choicelessly I have to die also, I can't decide. Let me be there for some more time. I have to die also, my death is choiceless. Means, then what happens? My life is determined by my fate, vidhi. Therefore, as then, as an enjoyer of, as a product of the power of the karma, as an enjoyer of pains and pleasures or pairs of opposites determined by the power of the karma, no, and also the death being ordained by, the death also being ordained by the power of the karma, when you see yourself as an enjoyer, as a bhukta, you see yourself as a fatalist, you see what now? Again, there is misery. Isn't it? Because choiceless, you are bound. There again, when you see you are here as a responsible individual, exercising, being capable of exercising your free will to do certain things also, and you see yourself as a karta, as a performer of actions, then also you have responsibilities and duties and things. There also what now? Responsibility means until you finish your responsibility, it involves pain, isn't it? There is misery again. So as a karta, as the one who exercises the willpower, as a performer of actions, as the responsible individual also, with responsibilities, there is samsara. When you see yourself as the karanam, as a cause of certain things to be done. Therefore, as a karta, as a cause, when you see yourself also, there is bondage. Now here, therefore, there is the dukkham involved, therefore there is a bandaha. The same thing, is a karana. One more thing I have to see very, very carefully here. This which point I did not say last class. I wanted to understand here. In karyam, we can say, in an effect, there is misery, there is bondage, we can understand. Isn't it? Because duality is there, I can understand. There is duality, is very much there. In an effect, suppose as a Vishwa, in waking state, there is duality. I am different from the world, world is different from me, and every individual different from every other individual. Duality implies plurality also, multiplicity also. Therefore, there is definitely, there are differences and there is dukkham. Similarly, there is duality. Duality means definitely there is dukkham. And similarly, we can say as tajasah also, in dream also you have dream dukkham. What about the therefore, we can say in karye there is dukkham samsaraha bondage. What about the cause, karanam? How do you say, no, karanam also is samsaraha? No, karanam is samsara means what now? Even in causal condition, how do you say there is a bondage? People think there's no dukkham because in sleep, there is no dukkham. In death also, there will not be dukkham. Again, pralayam also, there is no dukkham. Only when there is duality, isn't it? I am here, the world is there, I am the experiencer, the world is experienced, there is duality, and therefore we can say there is dukkham. There is a bondage. Similarly, in the dream. But what about in sleep? In sleep, there is no dukkham. So people also say, in samadhi also, people like samadhi because in samadhi, there is no dukkham. But there is no, they take it as moksha. So in Karanam also, what now? Karanam also there is Dukkham. Karanam also is Samsaraha. We have to understand, Karanam is always Samsaraha. The cause is also within the realm of bondage only. Not only the effect is in the realm of bondage. How do we say? Because if the, from the cause alone the effects come into existence, which means all the, this duality and plurality, the effects which have come into existence from the cause, in the cause also, the duality must be there potentially. Okay? Therefore, in cause, the cause is nothing but a potential unmanifested duality. Therefore, cause all, which alone gives rise to what? Manifest duality. Therefore, cause also is bondage. Effect also is samsaraha, bandha. Because in samadhi, like in sleep, we have non-dual experience. Understand? In samadhi, we have non-dual experience. Advaita anubhavaha is there. But non-dual experience should not be mistaken for the non-duality, a non-dual reality. Is it clear? Non-dual experience is mistaken for the non-dual reality. Very careful there. Samadhi is only a non-dual experience. Non-dual experience means what? The dual, no, the potential duality. Non-dual experience is nothing but potential duality. Therefore, it is not mokshaha. You have to be very careful. Because sometimes the doubts come. In sleep also you have non-dual experience. That there is neither you nor the jagat. Non-dual experience is a bliss, really. But it is not permanent, isn't it? It's only experience. When you use the term experience, immediately you can understand subject to change. You are not interested in the non-dual experience which is subject to change, but you are interested in the non-duality which is your very swarupam, which is not subject to change. Understand? Therefore, be very careful here. There's also bondage. Of course, anything subject to change is samsara. The karana karyam is samsara. Dvaitam is samsara. So, this padatrayam is samsara. You understand this very well. Then what is then? What else is here? Anything time bound is bondage. Subject is bound by samsara. So here, the turiya atma, the turiya chaitanyam, is what is turiya chaitanyam? The pure consciousness which is like the turiyam, which is like the fourth person, obtaining in all the three states of experience changelessly, is distinct from all the three states of experience, which is distinct from, which alone gets the name Vishwa Taijasa Pragya names, which is not, okay, which is free, distinct from all of them, is what? Karya, Karana, Vyatiriktaha. Isn't it? The Turiya Chaitanyam is distinct from the cause, the Pragya, and the effects, the Vishwa and the Taijasa. Distinct from cause and the effect. Therefore, it is not subject to change. It is changeless. Nirvikaram. So Turiya Chaitanyam is Karya Karana Vyatiriktam. Turiya Chaitanyam is what now? The consciousness, improved with the term Atma, the self, is distinct from the cause and the effect. And nirvikaram, it is not subject to change. It's of the nature of changelessness. Then, therefore, it is of the nature of timelessness. And it's a timeless, changeless, the Turiya Chaitanyam, which is distinct from cause and effect, is what? Is Advaitam, non-dual. This non-dual reality is free from bondage. Understand? This you understood by, this is what I explained to you last class. Is it clear or not? Now we have to say, so what? Duality is bondage, non-duality is freedom. Non-duality means what? Non-dual reality is consciousness. And anything and everything which comes within the realm of duality is time-bound, subject to change, and it is subject to, is it? Therefore, there is samsara, there is bondage. Here, the shifting the eye-sense from the anatma, padatrayam, to turiyatma, now cognitively, now you one can discover one's freedom being there already. That is why you had to do. So here the last class, with this introduction, I had my last class, and the very first verse, Gaudapada Acharya says, now uses the term Kripanaha. Kripanaha, I said, the word Kripanaha literally means a miser. Okay, a miser. Who is the miser here? In two places we use the term miser. The one who, as a karma yogi, the one who does not use his knowledge of right and wrong, thereby one who does not use the free will, one who abuses the free will, just doing his actions in keeping with his own likes and dislikes, also said to be a miser, because he does not make use of the buddhi, knowledge, the discriminative understanding of right and wrong. He is not making use of it, therefore he is a miser there. The same way, the miser is said to be any ignorant person, also is called miser. See, you can't afford to be innocent always. It is natural for you to be innocent initially, isn't it? I'm very innocent, you know, I'm very innocent. How long do you want to be innocent? Charles must accept it. You know, you can't afford to be innocent. You have to grow, you have to learn to grow out of innocence, which means you have to be intelligent, isn't it? Therefore, because as a human being, you are blessed with the most capable, highly, highly intelligent mind, isn't it? You are the most capable mind. Your intellect is capable of penetrating and discovering anything, any subtle fact here. And human intellectual capacity really used properly, appropriately, the maximum only when you discovers the truth of the self. Therefore, we say there is always, mind is of the nature of probing into something. Mind is of the nature of being inquisitive and curious. Mind is always of the nature of searching for something. Therefore, that the search on the part of the human mind culminates only in discovering the truth of oneself, a truth of the reality, the truth of the universe, as the self. So the one who has not made the best use of his intellectual capacity, one who has not yet discovered the truth, and one who remains ignorant, continues to be ignorant throughout, is also said to be what? Kripanaha. A miser. Therefore, the one who has not made the best use of his intellectual capacity, at least sometime in his lifetime, I said, initially is okay, at least somewhere, before we kick, you know, off. No, definitely, somehow we have to make the best use of our intellectual capacity and discover the truth. you have to live, uplift yourself to be a wise person. Otherwise, you know, what now? You cannot enjoy, take ownership of the freedom which you already have, which you need not accomplish, you need not attain. You have to only take ownership of the freedom which is already there. That is why it's always said accomplishing the already accomplished. Isn't it? Well, you have to take ownership of it. If you do, if you miss it, then you will be a miserable person. So that miserable, the miserly, miserable, the person who has not made the best use of his intellectual capacity in terms of discovery of the truth as the self, is a samsari. The word kripanaha implies samsari. Samsari means an miserable individual who thinks he is subject to all limitations, is a kripanaha. What is the meaning now? I think you got the best of the meaning of the word kripanaha. And this samsari, kripanaha, who is a kripanaha? He says, now, Gaudapacharya, who is a kripanaha? Who is a samsari? Who is that miserable individual who thinks I'm subject to all limitations? And who is this, kripanaha? Who is the samsari here? He says, the one who thinks, the one who has this thinking, one who has this understanding. What understanding this person has? This whole jagat, look at this, this entire cosmos, which I am experiencing now as an object of knowledge, object of experience, which is different from me, which has independent existence of its own, this cosmos has come into existence from Bhagavan Ishwaraha, which means, who is Bhagavan for him? Who is Ishwaraha for him? If there is, the universe has come into existence, means the universe is karyam. This karya prapancha has come into existence from where? The cause. So if Bhagavan means, it has come into existence from Bhagavan, means for him the Lord is the cause. Understand? See, for this person, the cause of this universe is Ishwara, Bhagavan. So everything before this universe came into existence, before the creation, the universe remained what? Unmanifest as the Lord. So the Lord who the cause of the universe alone has become manifest as the universe. Therefore, the universe is the Lord. Manifestation of the Lord. Nice, no? Very close. The whole universe is manifestation of the Lord. The cause. Who is the Lord here? Lord is the cause. Cause of the universe. Which was there before the creation of the universe. That cause, the Lord has become this universe now. Therefore, the whole universe is manifestation of the Lord. And where was I? I was also the Lord. I was also in the Lord. And Lord has created me. I have come into existence from the Lord. Lord is the cause for me, the experiencer. And Lord is the cause for the experienced universe. The experiencer and the experienced, all of us together, were there before as the Lord. Understand? The cause. So all of us are here now as the cause, as the manifestation of the Lord. For what now? I am an individual now, as a jiva, with all limitations. I am an individual jiva, with all limitations. Who is the Lord? Lord is almighty, all-knowing, and I pray to that Lord, I worship that Lord, meditate upon that, Lord, understand, to feel secure. The person who thinks, okay, who has this thinking, he says, such a person is a miser, kripanaha samsari. Had to be very careful here. Because this person is of this notion, the understanding, and he also thinks what? He is totally committed to the meditation upon that Lord. He is totally committed to the meditation upon that Lord. Thinking that meditation as an end in itself. Meditation is everything. Meditation is everything because meditation is an end in itself. Because I'm meditating upon the Lord. Meditation is also a form of worship, isn't it? So, he is called Upasana Ashrita Dharmaha. Such a person will ever continue to remain in Karyam Brahma. Which means, he will continue to be in duality. The one who continues to be in duality, who is the one who will continue to be in duality? The one who is committed to the practice of meditation upon the Lord, mistaking that meditation as an end in itself, expecting the upasana palam as the ultimate end, and thinking all that is here is what? Manifestation of the Lord. Therefore, for him, the Karanam Brahma or Karana Atma is the truth. He mistakes the cause for the truth. Is it clear? Very subtle teaching. Hope you are with me. This person mistakes the cause for the truth. He mistakes the cause of the universe as the ultimate truth. I'm using it very carefully. There is a cause of this universe which has evolved into this universe, definitely. And for the cause to evolve into the universe, it needs to undergo a change. Therefore, it's subject to time also. And this effect also is what? No. This universe, isn't it? Therefore, cause is the truth. If cause is the truth, there is no Lord or God other than the truth. Therefore, the cause which is looked upon as the truth becomes the God or Lord for this person. That is why he thinks what? Idam sarvam utpattehe prak ajam. It was the entire universe was unmanifest cause, which is the truth of the universe, which is the Lord. This is thinking. Therefore, he is committed to the practice of meditation upon this Lord. And he takes this meditation as an end in itself. And the result of meditation is an end in, ultimate end in itself. And such a person who continues to be in duality will remain ever bound, which means he has not yet discovered the truth, not knowing the fact he has not yet discovered the truth. Not only he does not know that he has not discovered the truth, he still thinks he can discover, now through meditation he can discover the truth. As what? the cause of the universe. He wants to discover the truth as what? As the cause of the universe. Therefore, what does he do? He is meditating upon Ishvara, thinking that, is it clear? For him, the truth is an object. Because through the act of meditation, he wants to arrive at it. Such a person who remains in the duality, who continues to be in Karyam Brahma, Ishvara, all the time, he is a Kripanaha. He is a miserable samsari. The very, very unfortunate thing. And it is misfortune for him to miss the vision of the reality. This is the meaning of the first mantra. So we should be very careful. Oh, Gaudapada Acharya ji says, people come and listen half, it's called half-baked listening, okay? Gaudapada Acharya says, a meditator is a kripanaha, a miserable samsari. A meditator, one who meditates upon the Lord as the truth, as the cause of the universe, is miserable samsari. The worshipper is a miserable samsari. The one who is praying to the Lord is a miserable samsari. Therefore, we are already reluctant to meditate and then worship and pray. Okay, let us not meditate hereafter. Let us not worship or pray hereafter. We can make such wrong conclusions, isn't it? Of course, you must be intelligent enough to accept this fact. The one who meditates upon Lord as an object is still Advaiti. A worshipper is a dvaiti. The one who is praying to the Lord is a dvaiti. As long as there is dvaitam, there is samsaraha, there is bandaha. You have to, isn't it? Definitely you have the vision of the non-dual reality for moksha. There is no doubt about it. And that reality you have to recognize as your own very self. Only then there is a moksha. There is no doubt about it. But you should be very careful. As the student of this Mandukya Upanishad, you should understand, this one who is given to the practice of meditation upon the Lord as an ultimate end itself. Okay, if you mistake the meditation as an end in itself, then you are a samsari. If you understand very clearly, this meditation, worship or prayer or meditation, okay, of the Lord, upon the Lord, is if you think it as a discipline which will contribute for mental preparedness in terms of mental steadiness, which is required for the knowledge of the truth, okay, which is available for recognition as the self, and which itself is discovered, which itself is moksha, if you understand, then this is a useful discipline. Then you are not a samsari, then you will be a karma yogi. If a person sees this meditation upon the Lord as a discipline required for mental steadiness, the qualification required for knowledge, then the meditator becomes a karma yogi. Because meditation becomes a yoga. As a preparing, no, preparatory discipline, means you are a yogi. If you do not see it as a preparatory discipline, then, which means this person is still confused about the very concept of moksha. This person does not even know what moksha is. This person does not know what actually the knowledge of the truth is. It does understand, which means the concept of moksha itself is not there for him. She still has confusion about all those things. Therefore, then he takes the meditation as the ultimate goal. Meditation is taken to be the end in itself. Then this person is a samsari. a person who will ever remain bound. A karma yogi will not remain bound ever. Okay, he will go to the pursuit of knowledge, jnana yoga, from karma yoga, then attain jnanam, then he'll become free. Whereas this person will be a kripanaha, is a kripanaha, he will ever remain in the duality, saguna Ishvara, saguna Brahma. This is the first verse. Now we have to go to the next verse. Before we go there, let us read the first two. Karika. If you have any doubts, I'm going to give some time today, because hereafter, any doubt you have, we have to clarify in the very class itself. Okay, I'll give some time for you to answer. Upasanashrito dharmo. Jate brahmani vartate.
Jate brahmani vartate.
Pragutpat. Terajam sarvam. Tena saukrupana smrutaha.
Tena saukrupana smrutaha.
Tena karanena asaukrupanaha dinaha alpakaha smrutaha nitya ajabrahma darshibihi iti avipraya se shankara. Okay, so I have explained the meaning very clearly. Now you can say, see the first line, meaning of the first line. Upasana ashritaha dharmaha means the person who is totally given to or committed to the practice of meditation, the discipline of meditation, as an end in itself, such a person, Jate brahmani vartate. Jate brahmani means what now? Jatam brahma means karyam brahma. Karyam brahma means what now? Karyam brahma means the knower known universe. Okay? The whole involving the knower known division. Jatam brahma is equal to the whole manifest universe involving the knower known division. That person, jate brahmani vartate means he continues to remain within this karyam brahma, the manifest universe involving the duality, knower known duality. He continues to be in the karyam brahma. Karyam brahma means the manifest. The Karyam Brahma is equal to the whole involving knower known division. The experienced universe and the experiencer of the universe together constitute what? Karyam Brahma. Karyam Brahma is otherwise called Jatam Brahma. Then for him, such a person, what is his thinking? What is his notion he has? Utpattehe prak, prak utpattehe, utpattehe purvam, before the utpatti, before the creation, sarvam ajam, the entire, all that is here, the knower and the known, all of us, now everything here, remained as the cause. Understand? All that is here now, this Karyam Brahma, this universe means what now? The experienced universe, the manifest universe is, experienced universe is manifest universe, isn't it? The manifest universe is the experienced universe implies also what? The experiencer. Is it clear or not? Therefore, this whole thing, the whole involving this experience and the experienced remained as unmanifest reality, unmanifest cause. Remained as unmanifest cause of this universe. All that is manifest here now as the knower and the known remained as unmanifest cause, which is the Lord Bhagavan. Jatam ajam utpattehe prak sarvam ajam. Unmanifest cause. Is it clear now? So manifest is the effect, unmanifest is the cause. Before the manifestation, before the creation, where was this universe? It remained as the cause. Whereas the knower, experiencer, before the creation, the experience also is created. Experience also is created. And all of them, who is the creator? The Lord. The Lord is what? The cause of everything. The truth of everything. The cause of everything. Okay, not the truth. He is the cause. Karanam Brahma. And this is his thinking. Therefore. Which means, in Karanam also there is duality. This person, what is his thinking? In the effect, in Karyam Brahma, in effect alone there is duality. In effect there is duality means what? Only in the manifest universe there is duality. So, in Karyam Brahma, in manifest universe alone there is duality. Is it clear or not? In unmanifest universe there is no duality. When you say unmanifest means where is the knower, where is the known? Knower, known difference is not there in the cause. Is it true? Never, there is no duality. Only here in manifest universe there is duality. Knower, known division is there. Never, there is duality. Therefore, only in duality, isn't it? The duality is there only in the effect. In cause, there is no duality. That is his understanding. Therefore, he thinks about no. Meditating upon the truth, meditating upon the cause as the Lord, in whom everything remained unmanifest, from before the creation, and from whom alone everything has come into existence. That cause is the truth. Cause is the truth. Utpattehe prak sarvam ajam. But you have to remember here what? In Karanam also there is duality. What is the Karanam? Cause, in the cause there is potential unmanifest duality. Like from one seed, many trees are unmanifest. From one seed alone, many trees are potentially unmanifest in one seed. Isn't it? Unmanifest potential plurality of the trees is the seed. Similarly, the duality is what? No, in potential, the truth, the cause actually, the duality is unmanifest in the cause. Duality in potential condition. Therefore, in cause also, there is potential unmanifest duality. Effect is a manifest, okay, transactable, perceptible duality. Therefore, what this person says, when he does not know the truth being distinct from the cause and the effect. This person does not know the fact of the ultimate truth, absolute reality, being distinct from the cause and the effect. This person mistakes the cause for the truth. Therefore, everything remained as the cause means, therefore, when the cause has come into existence, therefore, for him, he mistakes the cause for the truth. Therefore, what is truth here? Truth is காரண காரிய வியதிரிக்தம். இஸ் இட் காரண காரிய வியதிரிக்தம்? Truth is that which is neither the cause nor the effect. Truth is distinct from the cause and the effect. Truth is distinct from the cause and the effect, neither the cause nor the effect. But this person mistakes the cause for the truth. It is possible for one to think in the cause there is no duality. But we have to remember, in the cause also there is potential duality. Cause is unmanifest duality. Effect is manifest duality. In duality there is samsaraha. So if you meditate and meditate and meditate, what will you have? Highest result of meditation is samadhi. This person is waiting for samadhi to happen. Why? Samadhi will bless me. Samadhi is non-dual experience. And he thinks the samadhi experience as the experience of the truth or something. And that is moksha for him. A experience is time bound. You are working for everlasting freedom, happiness, which cannot go. If it should not go, it should have the beginning also. Therefore, it must be eternal. You are working for eternal happiness, everlasting peace, indestructible moksha, that which means it is not the experience. The samadhi experience is a non-dual experience, which is not the non-dual reality. He wants to arrive at the truth. What is the truth? Cause of the universe. That cause in which everything remained unmanifest. That from which everything has come into existence. Understand? The upasaka. He wants to meditate upon the truth. And then because for him, meditation upon the truth is what? The Lord. The truth is what? Karanam. What is karanam? Karanam also is object of knowledge. Effect also is object of knowledge. Isn't it? Cause is object of knowledge. Effect also is object of knowledge. The water is the object of knowledge. The wave also is object of knowledge. Isn't it? Cause and effect both are objects of knowledge. He wants to transcend the manifest universe. He wants to go to the untruth, which is the unmanifest cause of this universe through meditation. Discover the truth of the universe in meditation. Is it clear? And such a person, Gaudapada Acharyaji says, if you take this meditation, upon the cause or the effect, of course it is meditation upon the Lord, the Ishvara, there's no doubt. Isn't it? The cause and the effect is, you can say, no problem, cause or the effect. But if you take the meditation as a discipline, a preparatory discipline which will contribute for mental steadiness, which is required for knowledge of the ultimate truth, which is distinct from cause and effect, then it is a useful discipline and you are a yogi. If you take this meditation itself as an ultimate end in itself, and you are waiting for the non-dual experience samadhi, then what happened? You will be in samsara only, which means you are still in duality. You have not yet gone beyond. You have not yet gone beyond the duality. Therefore, you are, then that the pacha person is a Kripanaha. Kripanaha means who? The miserable individual who thinks he is subject to all limitations, a samsari. Tena asau Kripanaha smritaha. Now he is going to next thing. Therefore, he begins with the, therefore. Ato vakshyamya karpanyam. Ato vakshyamya karpanyam. Ajati samatam gatam. Ajati samatam gatam. Yathana jayate kinchit.
Yathana jayate kinchit.
Yathana jayate kinchit.
Yathana jayate kinchit.
Jayamanam samantatah.
Jayamanam samantatah.
So duality is bondage. There is bondage in duality. As long as there is duality, so long will there be bondage. As long as you see even the causes, the cause of the universe as the truth also, there is duality, there will be duality, there will be bondage. Then what is the truth? The effect is, for the whole universe is manifestation of the Vikriti, is a modification of the Prakriti. There's no doubt. It is a modification of the cause. Like pot is the modified form of clay, the whole universe is modified form of the cause. There's no doubt about it. But the truth you need to do is neither the cause nor the effect. It is distinct from, it is not distant from the cause or the effect. Truth is non-distant from the cause or the effect, but definitely it is distinct from the cause and the effect. Is it clear? And that truth is what? One indivisible, partless whole. This is non-dual, there is no parallel reality. The secondless, non-dual reality. One also, isn't it? Therefore, that truth is distinct from all of them. He is going to say now, Ataha, that in only in that vision of non-dual reality, which is neither the cause nor the effect. Okay, only in that vision of that non-dual reality as the self, you there is freedom, there is Muktihi, there is mokshaha. Therefore, now I'm going to teach you what? That Turiya Chaitanyam, the non-dual reality. Therefore, I'm going to discuss that non-dual reality. Turiyam Chaitanyam, the Turiya Padaha, which is distinct from the Pratama, Dvitiya, Tritiya Padas, the cause and the effect. Why? Because it is the vision of the non-dual reality. It is moksha. Only non-duality there is moksha. Therefore, and in duality there is bondage. Therefore, I am going to discuss the non-dual reality, which is the Turiya Padaha. Turiya Pada means what now? Which is the Turiya Chaitanyam, which is like the fourth Pada. He is going to say here, Ato Vakshyamya Karpanyam.
Ato Vakshyamya Karpanyam.
Ato Vakshyami. Ato Vakshyamya Karpanyam.
Ato Vakshyamya Karpanyam.
Ajati samatam gatam.
Ajati samatam gatam.
Yathana jayate kinchit.
Yathana jayate kinchit.
Jayamanam samantataha.
Jayamanam samantataha.
Ato vakshyami. Vakshyami, I am going to say. I shall speak means, I shall say means, I'm going to say, I'm going to teach. I'm going to discuss here, vakshyami, what I'm going to teach here. Akarpanyam. Okay? Akarpanyam. Akarpanyam is an opposite of karpanyam. Karpanyam is a noun form of kripanaha. Kripanaha means adjective. A miserable samsari is kripanaha. Karpanyam means what now? Misery. Okay, the bondage involving misery is what karpanyam. Now, akarpanyam means opposite of misery is what? Okay, akarpanyam means mokshaha. If karpanyam is samsaraha, akarpanyam means what? Mokshaha. Karpanyam is equal to samsaraha. Kripanaha is a samsari. Akarpanyam is mokshaha. Therefore, akarpanyam, what is akarpanyam? Advaitam is akarpanyam. You can say now, dvaitam is karpanyam. Duality is bondage. Advaitam akarpanyam. Non-duality is freedom. I'm going to teach you the non-duality. I'm going to discuss here non-duality, which means non-dual reality. And which is what now? Ajati. Ajati. Akarpanyam ajati. See, ajati means here that which is not subject to birth and death. Ajati implies that which is neither the cause nor the effect. Ajati means that which is not subject to birth. That which is not subject to birth means that which is not the effect. One more thing I have to say. That which is not the cause of anything. Look at this. Ulta, completely different here. No? That which is not the cause also. Ajati means what? That which is not the cause. Which means, okay, that from the truth, this Atma, in that reality, nothing has come into existence. Reality, Brahman, Atma has not created anything. Reality is not the cause of anything. Nothing has come into existence from reality. Nothing has come into existence from reality, which means, when you say, what is the cause? Cause is that from which effect comes into existence, isn't it? Cause is that from which alone the effect comes into existence. But here, when you say ajati, the truth is that from which nothing has come into existence, which means truth is not the cause. Not only the cause, it is not the product of anything else also. Truth cannot be created by something else, isn't it? Truth is neither the product of something else. Truth is not the cause of something else. Therefore, neither the producer nor the product. Therefore, truth is ajati. Okay, he says ajati. Ajati, so akarpanyam implies advaitam. Ajati implies karya karana vyatiriktam. Truth being distinct from cause and the effect. Samatam gatam. Samatam gatam. that which is, samatamgata means that which is of the nature of sameness, means that which remains the same. Sameness is its nature, means what? That which remains the same always means changeless. Changeless implies what? Samatamgatam implies changelessness, therefore timelessness. See, we have to bring all this now, all those different words. Akarpanyam is equal to Advaitam, non-duality. Ajati implies karna-karya vyatiriktam, distinct from cause and the effect. Then samatam gatam implies what? Timelessness, changelessness. Okay. Then what now? Nirvikaram. It implies nirvikaram, kala-rahitam, karna-karya vyatiriktam, advaitam is what? Vakshyami, I'm going to what is that? Akarpanyam means advaitam, ajati karnakarya vyatiriktam, samatam gatam kala rahitam. That reality is that the reality which is distinct from cause and effect, which is free from time limitation, which is not subject to time limitation, which is subject to any change, that non-dual reality which is free, he says, that I'm going to discuss here. Turiya Chaitanyam, which I'm going to discuss hereafter. Ataha, therefore. Okay, therefore I'm going to discuss Turiya Chaitanyam. Why? Because it is possible for you to mistake the cause of the universe as the truth. It sounds complicated, but at least clear, isn't it now? Because we all think cause of the universe is the truth. That is why scientists are, what are scientists doing? They're all also meditators. They're all as good as meditators. Why? Why they're all as good as meditators? They're all searching for the truth as the cause of the universe. And they are called cosmologists. Hope you got it, isn't it? They're not wrong. They can try to come, but they can never arrive at even the original prakriti. They must be there not to arrive at original prakriti. That is why the truth of the universe, the cause of the ultimate cause of the universe itself will be what? Cause of the universe will be itself will be mystery. They can discover so many subtle facts, much subtler facts like E is equal to MC squared, in much subtler facts they can discover. But they can never arrive at that substance. What is that one cause which has become the universe that they can never arrive at? Understand? Because you yourself are what? How can you see? Is it? Anyway, that's different. Let's not go to that. I don't want to confuse you too much. I think now it has become clear, isn't it? Therefore, I'm going to teach you what is that non-dual reality, which is neither the cause nor the effect, which is distinct from cause and the effect, which is not subject to any change, which is not subject to time. Okay, samatam gatam, which is not subject to time and change. Nirvikaram, and which is karna-karya vyatirikta, which is distinct from cause and the effect, and which is non-dual reality, which is free from bondage. I'm going to teach you that, which is of the nature of freedom. It is yathana jaya. Now he makes very, very clear. Yathana jayate kinchit.
Yathana jayate kinchit.
That's why in Mandukya there's a famous vadaha called Ajati Vadaha. Ajati Vadaha, you know. Ajati Vadaha is that wherein there is a teaching of the truth, reality, Brahman, which is free from birth and death. Ajati Vadaha is a teaching. The teaching of what? The teaching of Brahman, which is free from birth and death. Truth has no birth. Therefore, truth cannot have death also. Isn't it? That truth, ultimate reality, ultimate truth, absolute reality, which is free from birth and death, is discussed. Therefore, it is called Ajati Vadaha. Which means it is either the cause nor the effect. If the cause undergoes a change, there is birth of the effect. If the effect undergoes a change, there is a death. What is birth and death? Changes. Big changes. There is no destruction. This change is birth and death or changes. In between birth and death also some changes. Acceptable or unacceptably also tolerable changes. Birth, we do not know. Death, not at all acceptable change. They're all changes. Birth is a change. Can we accept it? Death is a change. Birth is a change. And in between there are changes. Therefore what? Change only relative destruction. Is there destruction at all then? What is destruction? There is no such a thing called absolute total destruction of everything. There is no such a thing at all. Something called total destruction is not there. What is that? Only relative destruction. What is relative destruction? Change. What change? Cause undergoes a change, appears as effect. If an effect undergoes a change, resolves back into what? As cause. This is birth and death, isn't it? Whereas what about the reality, absolute reality, ultimate truth? Truth is that implied by the term Atma or Brahma, and here the way is called what? Turiya Chaitanyam. Consciousness, is it? Is neither the, it is free from birth and death. The teaching of Brahman, which is free from birth and death, is called what? Ajati Vadaha. Therefore, there is no karya karana sambandha. Isn't it? Therefore, na yathana jayate kinchit. I am going to teach you what now? I am going to teach you here how nothing has come into existence from the truth. Look at this. Completely different teaching, okay? Na jayate kinchit. Jayate means is born. Na jayate is not born. What is not born? Nothing is born. Kinchit. Not even little. Okay? Yathana kinchit na jayate. From the truth, which is distinct from cause and effect, nothing has come into existence. That is why our Swamijis are very particular. They never let people to enter into Mandukya class, really, if they are not ready for these classes. They won't let the beginners. Suppose somebody walks into this class and sits here like this. They listen to only today's class and goes back. Of course, if they don't understand, it's a different thing. They misunderstand, definitely they misunderstand. They don't understand at all, it's fine. Joy, isn't it? Non-understanding will be bliss. But misunderstanding is a dangerous thing. Isn't it? they are very strict. Mandukyam class, they will not let others sit. Because they know these people going back, what all problems they'll create later on. Isn't it true? Because ajati vadaha, he's saying, yatha kinchit na jayate. You know, nothing really comes into existence from that reality. I'll teach you how nothing has come into existence from reality. Which means you have to show what? The truth is not the cause. Truth is not the cause. Has to be established. Yeah, karanamalla. Mulu modar porul. Okay. Tamil appa basic la. Let's finish this here. So where is the page? I missed it. Okay. Yathana jayate kinchit. Jayamanam samantataha. Samantataha. I'm going to leave for tea now anyway. Jayamanam samantataha. Samantataha means entirely all that is, you know, jayamanam, that is coming into existence, isn't it? All that which keeps on coming into existence, all that is here, has not come into existence from the truth. If when you say jayamanam kinchit, all that which keeps coming into existence, okay, or nothing has come into existence from the truth, means truth is not the cause. If truth is not the cause, truth is different from the cause. That I'm going to teach. What is the truth? Na akarpanyam, ajati. Understand? I'm going to teach. I'm going to discuss. So, advaitam, dvaitam is bondage, advaitam is moksha. This is the teaching of the lesson, teaching of this chapter. But still here, he's going to establish the Turiya Chaitanyam, being distinct from everything. What is non-dual reality? It's going to be discussed in the following verses. I'll tell you when you come back after tea, how he develops the teaching. Please go and come. The words are very unusual words. That you have to be very clear. Go and come. Any doubts you have, please ask me also.